Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm very excited about having someone on the show for the first time today that I've been enjoying reading her work for a long time. Amity Schles is here, ladies and gentlemen. She's the director of the George W. Bush Institute's Economic Growth Project. She is the author of a number of books. She's a best-selling author of a number of books, including Greedy Hands, including The Forgotten Man. Her new book is called Coolidge. It's a biography of the 30th president of the United States. It's someone that I think you need to know about, and that's the reason why I've asked Amity to join us. Amity Schles, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
And it's now out in paperback now, right? You came out first in hardback and now just released recently in paperback. Is that right?
That's right.
So, okay, President Coolidge, known as Silent Cal, he was former governor of Massachusetts. He succeeded President Harding, who died in 1923. And so that's a quick tour of who he is. Tell us a little bit more about this 30th president of the United States.
Well, there's really only one thing you need to know about Coolidge, which is that when he left office back in the 20s, the federal government was actually smaller than when he came in. And if you're a skeptic, you'll say, well, what do you mean smaller? You mean it was growing less fast, right? No, it was actually smaller. He cut the budget over 67 months. Very hard to do as a president, especially hard to do when it's not wartime or when you're not coming out of wartime. Economy was growing, population was growing, so how do you do that? A miracle president, and that's what makes him interesting.
Well, I agree with you, and so what are some of the things, I mean, he was parsimonious to a fault, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. I won't say to a fault. We are all weird, right? And we all
exactly.
let someone else say it's a fault. He had an ingrained habit. You could call it a tick or a strength, depending on your culture, right, and your mood, of saving. He saved, he saved right down to, he made it hard on his kids. You know, what was the sermon in church about? Saving money, right? Where's that $5 I gave you? Did you save it? He had his children's shoes tipped with metal so they would last longer, but it made noise in the classroom and bothered the teacher, right?
Okay, so he was parsimonious to a fault, I was speaking for his children there, I guess.
No, a parsimonious to the point of irritation. No, well, I just think we can't judge, right?
Right.
He was so parsimonious, the White House housekeeper had to go. He thought she served too much ham.
I read that he was serving an awful lot of ham this week.
Right. It's an awful lot of ham to me.
Yeah.
Today we talk about pork. They were literal about it.
Right.
Looks like an awful lot of ham to me. I think you really want to get an actor on to do Coolidge because he spoke slowly and his humor requires pauses and silence. So you want to imagine you're showing the president the dinner you have prepared. And
right.
The president doesn't say anything. Pause. That's already, makes you nervous, right? Then he says, looks like an awful lot of ham to me. Pause. Fired. Too much ham. Too much pork. So he's a darling.
How did he accomplish that with Congress?
Well, vetoed a lot.
Yeah.
He was a regular Isaac Stern, a maestro of the pocket veto.
Mm-hmm.
The pocket veto, what is that? It's tipping something by inaction.
Yeah, just Coolidge. Leave it on your desk. Right.
Oh, you just leave it there. Ooh, that's it. That's economical, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to write any. And when you get into what is the pocket veto, it's hilarious. The pocket veto doesn't need any message. Oh, that's good for someone who likes silence. It doesn't like to waste slop over with words, right? What else about the pocket veto? Congress can't overturn it.
Right.
You have to write a whole new law in Congress. if you get a...
How long has it been since we've had a pocket veto in the United States?
Well, you know, I don't know.
It's been a long time, though, hasn't it?
We should look that up. I don't know. What I do know is that it was a question whether it was constitutional, and one of the things that happened following Coolidge's appointment of a friend of his to the Supreme Court was that the Supreme Court upheld the pocket veto.
Mm-hmm.
And who else used the pocket veto? FDR.
Right, right.
In the United States. I remember some history with President Bush and pocket veto, and I want to mention now, I've changed jobs, by the way. I honor President Bush greatly and had a wonderful time with him doing debate, and now we're doing debate over at the Calvin Coolidge Foundation.
Calvin Coolidge, that's right, that's the one. I forgot to mention that one. Hold on to that thought, Emily. Emily Schlesky is here, ladies and gentlemen. Her book is called Coolidge. It's the biography of the 30th President of the United States. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to reconcile the Roaring Twenties, the Crash of 29, and the Great Depression with Calvin Coolidge's presidency.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.